Chapter 4 Bunny took a deep breath and pushed open the door to O'Hagan's. A rapturous cheer greeted his arrival. The pub contained enough Gardaí to comfortably police the All-Ireland final, although many of them were already two drinks past an official warning, had they been working. Gringo was at a corner table, the king of all he surveyed.
"Here he is," he roared. "Happy birthday, amigo."
Bunny looked around at the assembly.
"Half the Peelers in Dublin are here."
"What can I say? As soon as they found out it was your birthday, there was no stopping them."
"But it's not my birthday."
"You heard the man," shouted Gringo.
The assembly all raised their glasses.
"Cheers."
One of the traditions of this now annual event was that every time Bunny denied it was his birthday, everyone had to drink. Bunny McGarry was born on July 26, 1967. However, a few years ago Gringo had fancied a night on the beer with the lads, and his then-wife, Sandra, never the most easygoing sort, had been far from keen. He'd got around this by making it Bunny's birthday. Gringo was his only mate in the world, and he couldn't leave the poor sod alone on his birthday, so the story had gone. Sandra had bought it, and so Bunny's bullshit birthday bash had been born. It was now in its fourth year, and unlike Gringo's marriage, it was going from strength to strength. As word had got around, the number of people attending the celebrations each year had grown. It said something for the mentality of the members of the Garda Síochána that they were far more likely to turn out to celebrate a fake birthday than a real one.
"You should have got here earlier," said Gringo. "Butch has already canaried one of the new kids."
"Ah, feck it. I love it when she does that."
Butch was Detective Pamela Cassidy, self-described lesbian fundamentalist. The nickname was entirely ironic. While nobody would refer to her as such to her face, she could be accurately described as petite, maybe 8 stone and change. Red-haired and fresh-faced with an angelic demeanour, she didn't look like a copper, a fact she used to her full advantage. Rumour had it she had been just short of the officially mandated height requirement at the time she had joined the Guards. However, she had also been an Irish judo champion, so someone higher up had made sure that allowances were made. The canarying was a tradition that would no doubt give the HR department at Garda HQ fits if they ever found out about it. What it consisted of was Cassidy aggressively coming on to any unaware male recruit. They ran a book on how long it took for the young fella to turn tail and run. Most normally bailed when she started talking about her collection of implements. Fastest was 1:15. Slowest was 8:12.
"How long did the lad last?"
asked Bunny.
6 minutes.
"Very respectable showing. Who was it?"
"I don't know his name," said Gringo. "He's that big lanky fella by the bar."
Bunny looked over.
"Is he normally that pale?"
"I doubt it."
Gringo pushed out a stool that he'd been saving for Bunny. As Bunny sat down, a pint of stout appeared in front of him, and he joined in the toasting of his own fraudulent celebration.
"Happy fecking birthday to me, ye shower of pricks."
They all cheered, and then their attention diverted back to their own conversations.
"Anyway, amigo, I was just telling Garda Clark here about your heroics today."
Bunny could feel himself blush. Moira Clark had been at the station a couple of years. She was a nice girl. Bunny had seen her play football for the Garda team at the Civil Service Games last year. She had a good burst of speed on her.
"Yeah, well, heroics me arse," said Bunny. "Don't mind his nonsense."
"He's too honest, Moira. That's part of his charm. He'd be his generation's John Wayne if he wasn't so afflicted with that debilitating Cork accent.
Fick you. Didn't understand a word of that. So anyway, this fella's up on the ledge of the building, and he's giving it, "Leave me alone, leave me alone, I'm jumping, man." And Bunny, cool as a cucumber, just hops out there and goes, "Relax, take it easy, we're all friends here." He has a very charming way about him when he wants to.
Moira grinned.
"Oh, I don't doubt it." So he's all like, "Relax, have a smoke, let's talk about this." He gives the lad a cig, and then offers him a light. And as he leans across, wham, slaps the cuffs on him.
Moira placed her hand on her mouth.
"Oh my God." And he's like, "You want to jump? Then let's jump." "Jesus," said Moira. "And where were you when all this was going on?"
Said Bunny. "Detective Sergeant Spain was down underground, supervising from a distance."
Gringo looked affronted.
"Grafton Street was packed with innocent women and children."
"And men," said Bunny. "There's no such thing as an innocent man," said Gringo.
"You're not wrong there,"
agreed Clark, before finishing off the last third of her pint with a flourish.
"Besides, Gringo, you were right to be careful. What with you being only 2 days from retirement."
Gringo slapped the table in frustration as Clark roared with laughter.
"Seriously, Gringo, do you think there's a guard in the country who hasn't seen Lethal Weapon?"
"If there is, I'm going to find the poor bastard. I'm going to get this story circulating if it kills me."
"Good luck," said Clark. "You'd have more chance of convincing people that Bunny has been a ghost this whole time."
She stood up.
"Theme again for the birthday boy."
"Thanks, Moira," said Bunny. "Fierce kind of you."
"Hey, what about me?"
said Gringo.
"Why, dear Spain, I'm sure if you sit here long enough, some lucky lady will come bearing gifts of alcohol and peanuts."
And with that, she was off and away towards the crowded bar. Gringo leaned across the table.
"You should ask her out."
"Moira,"
said Bunny,
"don't be daft. I've a good 10 years on her."
"And so what?
Women go for the mature gentleman, you know."
Bunny belched.
"I've been called a lot of things in my time, but that's a new one."
"First time for everything."
"Besides," said Bunny, "she's clearly gaga for Gringo, like every other lady in a 5 mile radius."
"Yeah, apart from the one I married."
"Ah, here, none of that. If I'm going to go along with this bullshit birthday, we'll have none of your moping."
Gringo held his hands up in surrender.
"Besides," continued Bunny, "now that you're about to be re-released onto the market, I can point out that I saw DS Jessica Cunningham on my way out of the station earlier. Apparently she's back from her stint in Galway and is working for Rigor O'Rourke now. You could resume your efforts at being the man who melts her frozen heart."
Gringo actually blushed.
"Shut up. I still can't believe I told you that."
D.S. Jessica Cunningham was mid-30s, blonde, 6 foot, athletic, and with all the natural warmth of a meat grinder. She was an infamous ball breaker. Legend had it, she once reported a fellow guard for being out of uniform. He had been wearing a Santa hat on Christmas Eve. To be fair, she was very good at the job. She had to be, as her ascension through the ranks certainly couldn't be put down to her winning way with people. This wasn't a woman having to be tough to live in the man's world of policing either. Bunny knew several female guards who managed to do the job and retain membership of humanity. In fact, it was Detective Pamela Cassidy who had come up with Cunningham's nickname. As these things went, it was both apposite and a guaranteed death sentence, if you were foolish enough to repeat it in her presence. Robotitz was not known for her sense of humour. All of this meant that Bunny was in possession of what would be a seismic slice of gossip if he ever shared it with anyone. Namely, that prior to meeting his soon-to-be ex-wife, Gringo and D.S. Cunningham had enjoyed an arrangement. Bunny leaned in and lowered his voice.
"You never did tell me. What was the sex like?"
"Shut up."
"I mean," continued Bunny, "I'd imagine it'd be a bit like one of those insects where she rips your willy off when she's done with you."
"And to think I was happy you didn't fall off that building."
"Maybe it was entirely the opposite, though. Was she a crier? Were you a crier?
I could easily see it ending in tears."
"One more word out of you, and this chat will end in tears."
"So we're agreed," said Bunny,
extending his pint out.
"No more discussion of romance this evening."
Gringo clinked glasses.
"Done, you prick."
They both took a drag on their pints. Truth be told, Gringo wasn't exactly short of female attention. Tall and slim with brown hair, he bore more than a passing resemblance to a Star Wars-era Harrison Ford. So much so that when he'd worn a waistcoat to Rigor O'Rourke's wedding a couple of years ago, people had immediately taken to calling Bunny Chewbacca. It hadn't stuck, thanks in no small part to the incident involving Bunny and the Swan later in the evening, which had caused people to forget all about the Chewie references. Bunny had met Gringo on their first day of Garda training down at Temple Moor, when he'd been assigned him as a criminology lab partner. Initially, Bunny had disliked him on principle. He looked like a bit of a poser. Hell, he was a poser. But he'd grown on Bunny over time. Gringo's saving grace was that he never took himself too seriously. They made an unlikely pair. Bunny, the rough-as-arsehole's muck-savage, and Gringo, the suave and calculating Dublin sophisticate. Beneath the stylish exterior, though, there was a rock-solid man. He'd never been anything but a good friend and, for what it was worth, a loyal husband, as far as Bunny knew. And Bunny would know more than anyone. He didn't know much about these things, but it seemed to him that Sandra, the soon-to-be ex, Mrs. Spain, had always believed her husband was too good to be true. Her own insecurities had caused her to distrust him. She'd got more and more erratic through 8 years of marriage, and then she'd left him for a landscape gardener. Last Bunny had heard, they'd a kid on the way. The divorce hadn't even been finalized yet.
"So," said Gringo,
"I've a big night planned."
"Good luck. I look forward to hearing all about it. I'm staying for a couple, then I'm off to my bed."
"Would you like to bet on that?"
"No, Sergeant. I've more sense than to gamble with you."